Welcome, colleagues. It's Liz. Helen and I have one more week of taking a holiday podcast break, so today you can enjoy a re-release of our season one episode, Helen Werner, Slightly Psychic. It does include the riveting audio footage of me forcing Helen to play a coin flipping game. We'll be back next week with a new episode discussing the astrology madness of season three's... I'm not recording this because I just screwed up saying it. It's a weird word. I justify my mistake. The episode is called Syzygy. S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. I think it's reasonable. I struggled with that. Anyway, on with the fun.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Liz.
And we're sisters,
scientists,
and lifelong X-Files fans.
And this is We Want to Believe.
All right, so today we're talking about Roland, which I didn't bother to watch.
And we approved that ahead of time, unlike... Yes. Approved, like you submitted a request, and no, it seemed fair because Helen watched Shapes and yes. I didn't, and I will watch Roland so she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Also, just a reminder that we are having sound issues, so if our sound quality is not as good as it has been at other times, there's a part broken on Zach's editing equipment, and if it bothers you too much, you can buy them a new one. Yep. And also, I changed one setting. Maybe I sound different than last week. Maybe I don't. I don't know.
we'll find out.
We'll find out. Yeah. And I'm going to try to stop sipping tea, except I'm not going to try to stop sipping tea because it's really good and I just made it and it's hot. So
it's not as bad. I don't think we can be corrected.
Okay.
Later about this. But unless we're in person and using the good microphones.
Ah, got it.
As
got
obvious. It.
Okay. So, if you hear off-putting slurping noises punctuating this episode, that's what's going on. I have a fresh pot of tea that I really want to drink.
Yep.
So I'm going to take us through the episode Roland, and then all Helen right. and I are going to play a little game. She doesn't know about it yet, but I did make sure she has a coin.
Yep,
so that I will do. Be necessary.
It's okay. $0.50, which makes me feel really important.
Fancy? Yeah, yeah. Very fancy. just a few other reminders. One is to read the, well, I mean, I don't know if I would say, if you want, read the book, The X-Files Origins, number one, Agent of Chaos,
yep.
which is the first of two young adult novels about Mulder and Scully as teens.
Yes. And we are reading, and we'll probably discuss some of it next week.
That sounds good to me. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds yes. good.
In fact, actually, next week, we are going to be talking about the Erlenmeyer flask, which is, and also the season finale. And
yeah.
so it seems kind of fitting to have like bonus content for that.
Also, please send us your stories. You can do that at...
We want to believe pod at gmail.com.
I don't know why.
Just went blank
that
for a
was
moment.
So hard. We want to believe pod at gmail.com
or find us on Instagram at we want to believe pod. That's also the space to watch if we're going to have our production schedule change or like a delay in episodes. There'll be an announcement about it on Instagram.
Yep. Cool. So Roland.
All right. Let's talk about Roland. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what I remembered was physics. I thought there was a particle accelerator involved. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, there's not. Mm. No, there's a human accelerator.
What?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So it starts in the Washington Institute of Technology, which is not a real place.
Okay.
And it's a physics lab and it's nighttime and there's a janitor and he's kind of sweeping stuff up. And then he's trying to go through this door and he's struggling with the like swipe card. And there's a physicist. We find out his name later. He's going to matter. Dr. Nolet. And he is not very nice to this janitor. He's like, come on, Roland, you should know how to do this. You know, and swipes him in. And then you see Roland's cleaning in this room where there's two other scientists arguing. A guy named Surnow and I've mixed up names. It doesn't matter that much. There is a mean physicist. I can't think of his name right. Keats is the mean physicist.
Okay. The one that yelled at Roland.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. The one that scolded Roland was Keats, and then two guys named Surnow and Surnow and Nolet are arguing, and they're okay. Like, they're showing that they have this big engine. Basically, they have a wind tunnel, and they're trying to get the wind tunnel to go to make wind as fast as possible.
Okay,
and it's not working, and they're arguing, and they're like, "There's something wrong with the equation." Ah, no, there isn't. Ah, you know.
Would there
and
be so, an equation involved? Like, is that a?
I mean, probably about in the engine and like it's some like fluid dynamic stuff. I mean, yeah, I do think there would be an equation. Okay. I mean, more than one.
Okay.
Actually. and so one guy leaves. And so this guy Surnow is the only one there. And by the way, these physicists are wearing white lab coats, which is not a thing physicists do.
Wait, ever?
No, why would we?
So you don't get the physics on you? I don't know.
It's funny that we're having this conversation because in lab last week, I have a class that has a lot of bio and chem majors in it. Mm-hmm. And we did like a real easy lab on day one. And I was like, it's kind of like a lab / activity. It doesn't take real long. They're like measuring reaction time by dropping a meter stick and trying to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And one of the girls was like, so in the future, is there a dress code for lab? And I couldn't even figure out what she meant at first. And then I was like, oh, right. There's like other labs have like long pants, closed-toed shoes. And I was like, no, there's nothing that could get on you. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. All right. News to me.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like you're standing behind glass doing either by hand or on a whiteboard or on a computer equations.
Behind glass.
Oh, but sorry. Not physicists in general. Not physicists in general, these dudes who are in white coats.
Okay.
They just always put us behind glass. I don't know. I never asked. So the guy leaves and there's only one man left, this guy Surnow. And so he's trying to figure out what the problem is. And so he goes into the like wind tunnel itself to go like push some buttons, test stuff.
Yeah.
And then Roland the janitor comes in and all of a sudden he looks like evil. Hmm. And he locks the doors and he, I don't know, dials up the wind tunnel to 11. Basically, he turns it on full blast and you see like the wind increasing in terms of Mach, whatever.
Okay.
You know, Mach 1, Mach 2, it's going up and up. And the guy is freaking out and yelling, let me out. Who's doing this? Mm-hmm. You know? And in the meantime, Roland is writing on the board, finishing the equation and correcting it.
Okay.
And you can see that like Roland seems initially in the first scene with him, like maybe he has some sort of mental handicap. We'll talk more about what they do with that. But then now he's, you know, finishing an equation and has, I was like, this is before Good Will Hunting. This is 3 years before Good Will Hunting came out.
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that because, so I haven't watched Roland in a long time. And what I remember about it is just physics. Wasn't the last episode.
Yeah.
Basically. But I also remembered, let me pull it up. Hold on.
She's remembering. She's pulling things up. It's happening.
I was just going to have Zach cut that out, but.
Yeah, okay.
I guess. We can be suspenseful.
Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the exact name of the article. Roland was also featured on the 10 most embarrassing X-Files episodes on that Vulture article.
That's right. Yes.
And
well-deserved. Well-deserved thing. Yeah. Yes.
Gender Bender and Shapes were also included.
And season one, not acquitting itself real well there.
No. And the first sentence is, this was the What's Eating Gilbert Grape meets Good Will Hunting embarrassment episode.
Oh my God, that is really well put.
Yes.
That is exactly what this is. Yeah.
It also reminded me that the guy who plays Roland was in True Blood. He played the Magister.
If oh, okay. I never saw True Blood.
The first few seasons were so good. Yeah, the last one really went off the rails, but the first couple were great.
So anyway, we're getting back to my favorite scene in the episode, which is when Cernal, the scientist who's trapped back there, goes flying through the air past this window, just woo, like just zooms by and crashes into the wall and he dies. Okay. But yeah, just the image is, I don't know, hilarious. Like there's something just like, woo, there he goes. I feel like it's in the same category of unintentionally hilarious of the like the scene that everybody thinks is funny when the person falls in Titanic and hits the propeller and dies. Like,
yeah,
it's that category of thing. And so I started looking it up, like how much wind does it take to knock somebody off their feet?
Yes. I'm curious.
Would you like to guess?
Ooh, okay.
Let's start with just like how much would it take to knock the average person kind of down? Probably not to like make them zoom through the air like the cow in the movie Twister, but.
Okay. So I'm trying to remember. I went through a recent period of reading a lot about tornadoes.
Oh, nice.
Because William had questions, my 8-year-old. Ooh. But I'm forgetting now. I would say maybe, say 70 miles per hour.
That is exactly right.
Oh,
very right. Nice. Yeah, they say around 70 is when it can start knocking people down.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. And Mach 1, the speed of sound, is 767 miles an hour. So you're well off your feet at that point.
Yeah.
So really, when he goes zooming through the air, that should have happened much sooner. It doesn't take you being at like Mach 3. You don't need to be at like 2,100 right. miles an hour or more, you know,
right.
in order to go zooming through the air from wind.
Well, how much, but what's the zooming through the air?
Well, I had a harder time finding that, but I'm going to extrapolate if it takes 70 to knock you down.
Yeah.
That surely it wouldn't need to be 30 times larger to blow you through the air. Although as I'm saying that, maybe, I don't know. But the thing about this particular device, as they talk about in the next scene, is Mulder and Scully are walking in and Mulder's like, you know, I can't believe this actually exists. And they really do it. It's been like theorized, but they've built a wind tunnel that can get up to Mach 15. And I looked it up, and even now today, like wind tunnels are hypersonic, meaning going faster than the speed of sound. That's like between 5 and 15, between Mach 5 and Mach 15.
Okay.
So, you know, in 1994 going Mach 15, I do feel like that's a reasonable number to be like wowed by in 1994, but it's not insane.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What, why would anyone want to do that?
They don't address that in the episode. And I mean, there's probably all sorts of reasons. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I mean, to make cool videos with people pretending to skydive. no, there's probably other reasons.
You probably wouldn't need Mach 15 for that.
No, you probably wouldn't, as we talked about. Yeah.
Well, and so I just quickly looked up, and EF5 category tornadoes are more than 200 miles per hour.
Wow.
And know that that would for sure lift someone off their feet. So,
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mulder and Scully come to investigate this death, and I was like, Mulder is actually somewhat down to earth in this episode for Mulder, in that Mulder and Scully are chatting as they're walking in, and he's talking about, oh, I can't believe they did this. And she's like, do you think this is UFO technology? And he's like, no, I don't. I think it's identified. I don't think it's any unidentified anything or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, he doesn't think aliens are involved. And the reason he's interested is that Cernow is the second scientist to die in 6 months on this project.
Okay.
The other one was a guy named Arthur Grable, and he died in a car accident.
Okay.
And so if you're
neither of those seem very related.
No, I agree. I was like, it's a car accident. But Scully is thinking that maybe it's industrial espionage because they're finally getting up to Mach 15 and someone is killing them because of it. But when they go and they do the investigation, you know, they see like this other, Mulder notices the handwriting is different on the rest of the equation and asks the scientists, and they're all like, who could have done this? We don't know. And they look at who's been swiped in, and they're like, well, the only person here was this janitor, Roland. Mm-hmm. And the scientists are super jerky and like, Roland's not exactly a rocket scientist. He couldn't have done this. Yeah. And so they, Mulder and Scully go and they talk to Roland. He lives in a group home. Okay.
Yeah.
It struck me as one of those things where they were like, just generally, we're going to make him have that like sort of like Rain Man thing where he counts everything. And so they refer to him once as autistic, but mm-hmm. then another time they say like he has like mental handicap and like, isn't mm-hmm. that intelligent? So it just seems like they're just kind of playing it however they want it for the plot. And I did not like it. It made me very uncomfortable.
Similar to how in Shapes, I want to say, as we talked about, we did talk about this in Shapes, but no one heard us.
Right. Yes, that was the episode that never was. And it was so good, too.
I know.
It was a really good one.
We invented Mach 16.
Yes, right on air somehow.
but similar to Shapes, how one of the issues was that they just kind of made a conglomerate of Native American tropes to represent one made up tribe.
Yeah. It's not
like they're doing a similar thing
with
any sort of atypical behavior.
Yeah, that it's which I didn't like.
No.
While Mulder and Scully are talking to Roland, Mulder sort of secretly snags this piece of paper that Roland had been writing on, and it has a number on it, like 1576, something like that, a 5-digit number, so maybe 15656, something like that. Mm-hmm. But Mulder's grabbing it so he can compare the handwriting.
Okay.
And so they take it to their handwriting expert, and the handwriting expert is like, no, these aren't the same.
Ah.
But then a little bit later, I wrote down the number for some reason, 15626, if anyone is interested. They also show Roland at night in the home, and he's having nightmares. And in his nightmares, you're seeing scenes from what he did previously to this guy in the wind tunnel.
Okay.
Then we see a scene where Keats, who's the man who was mean to him initially, is working alone in the lab at night, and someone clocks him on the head with a beaker. And
that's not a thing.
I know. I was like, this is a very powerful beaker. And then he like falls down and is kind of disabled for a moment by it, and he's bleeding. And so then the guy picks him up and like, I don't know if drowned is the right word, kills him in a vat of liquid nitrogen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told you, like, unpleasant. In college, we did use, oh my God, I just thought of the one occasion where we did have to wear closed-toed shoes.
Oh, liquid nitrogen?
I guess we did when we would do experiments with liquid nitrogen.
Ah.
Yeah. Because we used to dare each other. You'd take off your ring, any rings first, and then you would dunk your hand in the Dewar of liquid nitrogen real, real quickly.
Yeah, don't do that, anyone listening.
I mean, I don't actually think I ever had the nerve to do it. I would encourage other people to, but I'm not encouraging them to do it now.
No.
But if you do it fast enough, it's okay. But, you know.
Not. You can seriously damage your hand.
Kill if you're dumb and you leave it in there.
Well.
Don't leave it in there. Don't soak it in there like you're getting a manicure. sorry, what were you going to say?
We had a candle burning on the table the other day, and he must have seen this somewhere, but William was like, what would happen if I touched the flame? And we're like, well, you burn yourself.
Yeah.
What if I got my fingers wet first and then I touched the flame? And we're like, well, then your hand would be wet and you would burn yourself.
And I was going to be like, you should have told him to try it.
It's like that episode of Parks and Rec where she goes on a date with Will Arnett, and he does that to like try to impress Leslie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All I remember about that is him saying, no, go Badgers.
Yeah.
But
all right.
All right. So he's dumped in the vat of liquid nitrogen. Thanks. He's killed. And then they go and they look at, like, there's the computer. Somebody has been working on it and like finishing up some experiment. Mm-hmm. And who's the last person to log in? Oh, it's some login called Arthur. And so they're trying to log in and they're like, well, we don't know the password. No one knows it. And Mulder's like, try 15626, the number that Roland was writing on the piece of paper. And it works. And they get in. And it looks like
how often do people actually guess passwords?
I think almost never.
Almost never.
Yeah. Maybe it's happened once.
Yeah.
If you have ever guessed someone's password correctly, ever, please tell us.
Yes. I would like to know if that actually is a thing. I mean, like, I just don't believe it.
No.
That's the most unrealistic part to me of this episode, that you would just see something and know it's someone's password.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He wrote down a lot of other stuff. He drew a flower. Should you write down flower as a password? Anyway, it looks like somebody's been continuing Arthur Grable's work. Arthur Grable's the guy who got in the car accident 6 months prior. And so they show again, Roland is having nightmares. Mulder and Scully go and talk to him. And he talks about how Arthur Grable was really nice to him at work. Okay. He was like the one guy who was nice. And then he mentions people die. They're not supposed to come back. And
yeah,
I feel like that's reasonable. And Mulder thinks that Grable may have staged his death and is coming back. Again, a sensible approach for Mulder to take.
Yes, very.
When does Mulder think that and not ghosts or possession or something?
One episode ago, he immediately thought that Charlie Morris was,
the Michelle reincarnated. Yeah. Or vice versa. Yeah.
Right. But when it involves physicists,
apparently it's different. Yeah. So then they do some research and they find out, Grable and Roland are both from Seattle and they have the same birthday.
Huh.
Yeah. And so Roland was like, they don't know who his parents were. He was adopted. And so that was unclear. But they do some more scenes of Roland having these visions and being very upset by them that I just felt like, I can't watch this anymore. Like, stop making me watch these scenes. They talk more to like the one scientist who's not dead, who at this point, who would that be? That's Nolet. Okay. He's one of the guys that we saw. And he's like talking about Arthur and they went to school together and, you know, he liked pranks and all this stuff. And then they discover, turns out he's not technically dead. He's cryogenically frozen.
What?
Yes. So Arthur, the guy who got the car accident, has been cryogenically frozen. And
I need to interrupt. Is Disney actually cryogenically frozen?
I looked it up once and I can't remember. I can't remember. I know that we looked it up previously. Why is this not the first thing when people search Walt Disney and then type the letter C? It should just be immediately available. Unfortunately, it is false, says Snopes.com.
Okay. All right.
I am disappointed.
What a weird rumor then to get started.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really, really weird. That's a good point.
All right, but Arthur Grable
is cryogenically frozen, and they go and they look at his tank, and there it is, and it's very cold. He's in liquid nitrogen, and
yeah, that's not gonna do that to tissue. I mean, is he like completely like?
I mean, from what it sounds like, he wasn't in very good shape to begin with because of the car accident.
Okay.
So
are you sure
I really
he's in liquid nitrogen or are you extrapolating?
No, I believe they say that because I thought, will that be meaningful? Because they mentioned it earlier when that guy died in there.
Huh. Yeah.
That doesn't seem right to me though.
No. As a biologist, I am calling that one false.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they start thinking about what is the connection between Grable and Roland? And they find out that, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they saw one had the other's name on like a donor card for like, if they need like tissue or something donated. And they figure out, I mean, they basically just guess that these guys were brothers.
Okay.
And so, Mulder talks to Roland more. Roland gets upset, more scenes of that, la la la. One thing I want to note is that Mulder says to Scully, "You have a brother, right?" And she says, "Well, I have an older brother and a younger brother." I don't think she does.
No.
Yeah.
He has an older brother and an older sister.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Melissa. Yeah. Huh. So, yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, because they become real important in later seasons. So I guess even this late in the game in season one, that hadn't been established.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We had met Scully's parents in Beyond the Sea, but
we didn't see
her siblings.
I don't think we did see her siblings. No. Okay.
Interesting.
And so Mulder talks about the psychic connection between siblings. And that is the game you and I are going to play.
All right.
Yeah. Should I finish talking about the episode and then we play the game? Because we're almost at the end here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So basically, Mulder goes to look for Nolet. And my notes say, Nolet is up to no good. Mm. He is sneaking into the cryo facility and turning up the heat on the body of Grable. And Scully is like, they couldn't be psychically linked. One of them is dead. And he's like, he's not dead. He's in a state no one has ever come back from. So because he's like cryogenically frozen, he's like communicating with his secret brother.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. And so the temperature is changing rapidly. Roland is back at the wind tunnel. Nolet returns there. And Roland is now pretty much entirely Arthur Grable. Like, he's okay. Like coming through real strong. And so Nolet is talking to him and he shares that quote about like, the only reason I got as far as I had is because I stood on the shoulders of giants, or that's paraphrasing, but that famous quote, which by the way, was said in part to taunt Robert Hooke for being so short.
Wait, really?
Yes. People hate Robert Hooke.
Wait, do they?
They
really?
Do. Yeah, his contemporaries do. Yeah. He was like,
I didn't know that.
A brilliant man, but like, there's a lot of like, I invented this. No, I invented this. Like, a lot of tension and yeah, not a well-liked individual. And so that was like a sideways jab at his height.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is like, see, this is why you should study the history of science. So you can just learn about people being like petty to each other.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah. And so Arthur, speaking through Roland, is like, you stole my work. And to which, what's his name? The other scientist, Nolet, replies, quite reasonably, in my opinion, you're dead. I'm continuing the work. And he basically, this is all driven because Arthur Grable is mad people were getting credit for his work and continuing his work.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Of course he was. Right. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, the number of women and minorities that have just been completely, you know,
not given credit.
Not given credit for
absolutely.
Their actual work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
but he comes back from his cryogenic freezing to psychically link with his janitor brother and murder people for building on his work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so that's what's happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Get over yourself, man.
Yeah. And so Mulder and Scully show up just in time to keep Nolet from being blown away by Roland / Grable.
Okay.
And they talk Roland into turning the machine down, and like Roland himself is able to kind of get control and stop Arthur Grable from killing. Oh, we did miss another face technology scene where they take this picture of Arthur Grable and he's got a beard and glasses, and they're like, remove the beard. Click, click, click. The beard is gone. Now, age him this way. Now remove the glasses, and then it's Roland. And it's just, I don't know, the idea of there just being like a little keystroke thing to just completely remove a beard in 1994. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So it ends on this like really bummer note of like, they're like, look, we're hoping that, you know, we're going to argue that Roland shouldn't be held accountable for these deaths. But it's like Roland packing up to go and like be, I don't know if it's like a trial or just like a pre thing, but he's like going to have to leave this home and he's saying bye to his friend who is sad. And it's just like a weird, sad, slow scene that just made me think like, did they just want to give this actor like more time to play this character and be like, you know, oh, it's so meaningful. I don't know. I did not like it.
Yeah.
Did not. But that's okay because it is time for our game.
Okay. Now, if the game involves you just guessing if it's heads or tails on my coin.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you've got a 50-50 chance. That's some pretty.
Well, we're not just going to do it once. We're going to do it a bunch.
Okay,
and
but it still
I have a
50-50 chance either way.
Yes, that's true. I'm glad we're in agreement.
Okay, all right. Explain it to me. Let me not get into myself.
Well, it's, I was looking online for if there were any stories or whatever about siblings being psychic. And I found this coin flip simulation where you see that eventually after multiple guesses, it'll settle down at 50-50 right and wrong.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to do that because it's a fake coin. And I want to test, are we psychic with each other? Not just, are we reading the computer program's mind? So how we'll do this is I'm going to keep score.
Okay.
And we're going to do it 10 times for you, 10 times for me. I know that's probably not enough to be scientifically significant.
Sure.
If we can go quickly, we can do more, but I don't want to bore people too much.
And are we trying to get the same flip?
Oh, no. What will happen is you will flip it.
Right.
I will guess what it, you will look at the coin. I will guess what it said. And you'll tell me if it was right or wrong.
Shouldn't we? Okay. All right. But again, that's just a 50-50 guess.
Well, yeah. But if on average, let's say we do 10 guesses and I get like, no, okay, 10 again is not that many. Let's say we did like 100 guesses and I got 65 of them correct. Eventually you start to go, maybe she's a little bit psychic because they're sisters.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay. All right. So, well, first you'll flip and I'll guess and you'll tell me if it's right or wrong.
I can't flip a coin. I'm just going to shake it in my hands.
That's fine. I've got what I'm going to do from.
Sorry.
Look at the coin. Heads.
Yes.
Okay. So I got one right. I wish we had video because tails.
Yes.
Tails.
No.
Damn it. Okay. Heads.
No.
Oh, come on. I was feeling really good. All right. Keep going. Heads.
No.
I was really trying that time. Okay. Tails.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. All right.
How many was that?
That was 6.
Okay.
Heads.
Yes.
Yes. Heads.
Yes.
Yes. Tails.
No.
Damn. Heads.
No.
Okay. Well, I got 5 right and 5 wrong.
Okay.
Suggesting I'm not reading your mind, but maybe you're reading mine.
All right.
So now we're going to find out and I will mark it down. Okay. Wait, hang on. I actually can't see what this says. I don't, is that tails? That has a head on it. So it's heads. Okay. So let's try that again.
Okay.
Okay.
Tails.
No.
Tails.
No.
Tails.
Yes.
Heads.
Yes.
Heads.
Yes.
Tails.
Yes.
Tails.
Yes.
Heads.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Heads.
No.
Heads.
Yes. Hold on, let me count how many that was. That was 10.
Okay. What did
I get? You got 7 right and 3 wrong.
All right.
So
not
preliminary,
bad.
Preliminary data suggests Helen might be slightly psychic.
All right.
We'll test it.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
We'll just have an entire podcast episode going just like 100 times.
We'll be like, bonus episode coming out, everyone. It's just a solid hour of that. Dude, should we?
No.
Tell us at wewanttobelievepod@gmail.com. Do you want to see us or hear us?
Hear us.
To predict coin flips for a solid hour.
It's I listened to a podcast called Boring Books for Bedtime, and I feel like this would fall under the same category of content.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And no spooky stories this week, right?
Nope, no spooky stories. Please send them in. Otherwise, we'll be left thinking there's nothing spooky in the world. And we know that's not true.
And we're just going to continue this coin flip game.
Yes. Yes. For every week we don't have a spooky story, we'll repeat the coin flip game.
Perfect.
There we go.
All right.
All right. So, well, just a reminder for next week, Erlenmeyer Flask, read the X-Files Origins, Agent of Chaos, and subscribe, like, share, give us reviews. Help people listen to us, because where else are they going to get quality psychic coin flipping content but on this podcast?
All right. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Bye. That was a good one.